So it's a good, very fitting Sunday for a baptism, because the thing the church wants us to realize is, as we remember this great fact of incarnation, and it's a good word, incarnation. When we say Christmas, we don't always remember that we are saying God, the absolute, unlimited, an unlimitable entity, person in the universe, the cause and source of all that is, that person became human, limited himself, became a baby, not just a human, and not just a baby, but born in poverty, etc., etc. All of these things, we kind of gloss over those things, I think, in part because it doesn't make real sense to us. I mean, this just isn't the sort of thing that happens, and it's not the sort of thing that makes sense in our everyday life, and so we tend to gloss over it, and so it's important for us to remember that. And what's important for us to remember in all that, that in itself is staggering, of course, and should be remembered. If it's true, there should be faithful witness to that. Just like other great truths, there should be, you know, monuments and rituals that commemorate and remember these great truths. Because as humans, we need these truths. But that's just the opening act. It's just to set up this profound, staggering, amazing claim that we heard both in Galatians and in John, that we would be children of God, sons and daughters of God. That's the point. In fact, John says, so you know, but in Galatians it says, and this is a lovely vision, and probably I should have preached on this, but I don't think I will. Those who have been baptized in Christ have clothed themselves with Christ. It's just a lovely vision. If you want to ask yourself, what does baptism mean? There's different metaphors. The one that we sort of enshrine in our church liturgy is the metaphor of new birth. So in the waters of baptism, Jay and Jadis will be born anew unto God, part of the family of God, those sons and daughters that have been proclaimed to be the reality now in Jesus Christ. But we also give some clothing, and that's this other image, this other metaphor. Put on Christ like a clothes. And you probably heard the saying, the clothes makes the man or the woman. That's only partially true. Probably in Hollywood it's very true, but in Medicine Hat it's less true. And if it were true, like, look at this stuff, man, I'd be some sort of saint, wouldn't I? But put on Christ, clothe yourself with Christ. And that ties right into this whole notion of what John says to those. So he came into the world, and this is just really hard to understand as well. It's hard to understand that God would come to the world that he created. Even harder to understand how the world did not know that its creator had come and lived among it. And even harder to understand, as Barclay says, this one statement in the gospel is full of all the pathos of the entire, all existence. He came unto his own. Barclay translates that, he came to his own home, or maybe that's temple. He came unto his own did not receive him. That's just bizarro that that happened, but that's what happened. But, this is the point, John says, those who did receive him, he gave the right to be the children of God, those who believe on his name, born not of human agency, blood, will, flesh, but born of God. And it's this claim the church says, celebrate Christmas all you want, but if you didn't stumble across this, if you didn't lean into this, if you didn't remember this, then you didn't celebrate Christmas, you just did something else. And there's a lot of things about Christmas that don't have to do with this. This is Christmas. That we have now the right, those of us who received Jesus, that is, who believed in his name, on his name, and believing on the name means that we accept as true what Jesus revealed to us about who God is. Accepting what Jesus reveals to us about who God is gives you and I the right to be the children of God. Now, this is a very important claim, and it can be misunderstood because we talk a lot about rights in our world today. And often, and maybe mostly, we think about rights as something extrinsic, that is outside of us, external. So, for instance, you might go to city council and say, I have a right to have the potholes filled in on my road. And everyone would laugh, right? No, I'm kidding. But you have that right, but if you have that right, it's external. It has to do with laws that our municipality has agreed to, and taxes, and all sorts of things that are outside of you. But there's other rights, much more fundamental, much more important, what we might call, using, you know, quoting the Constitution of those folks to the south of us, unalienable rights, the rights that cannot be taken away from humanity. And those rights are intrinsic. They come out of who we are at our core. And that's what John is saying here. Those who receive Jesus, that is, who believe the revelation of God in Jesus Christ, believe that what Jesus said about God, how Jesus showed us God is love, how Jesus taught us to call God Father, all of these things, that these are the best way, the most true, the accurate way to understand God. Receiving that, believing that, we are changed in our core. Our very being changes at that moment, so that now we have an unalienable right to be called children of God, because that's in fact what we are. Now, that has happened. That's what the gospel tells us. That's what Christmas says. This was the whole point. God became human, lived among us, so that he might bring humans into true relationship with God, not something external. And that's why baptism can be confusing sometimes, because it does happen on the outside. But the church tells us what's happening on the outside is just a sign of what's already gone on and what's going on the inside. And that's where the right to be the children of God comes from. Who you are now at your core. There's absolutely nothing that can change that. Absolutely nothing. Okay, I'm not being Calvinist, and Arminians do have a point. We'll get into that debate later. There's absolutely nothing you can do to change that. There's nothing anyone else can do to change that. Sin doesn't have that power anymore because you're not under the law. You're under grace. That's what Paul says in Romans. Nothing changes this truth about you now. Having received Jesus, you are a child of God. Now, we forget that, and we don't always live it out, to be sure. But when we remember our own baptism, which is an important part of our baptismal ceremony, and when we baptize others, we are saying, as Paul says to the Corinthians, if any person be in Jesus Christ, behold, it is a new creation. All things are new. And that, brothers and sisters, is why Christmas and the Christian tradition, the Christian message, is so radical. That's just crazy talk. But I'm here to tell you and remind you that it is true for you. And occasionally God invites you, sometimes when we remember our own baptism, as we will later, other times just out of the blue, random acts of grace, God reminds us to be who we are. He says something like this, I know you're trying really hard to change, and I like that about you, I really do. But you're trying to be something you already are, so why don't you just accept it and relax? Why don't you just let go of striving today, at least, and delight yourself in my love, in my embrace? You're my child. Absolutely nothing you can do will change that. You have the right, because it's in you, it's core, it's essential. It's not a right the church gave you. It's not a right your baptismal certificate pronounces. It's who you are irreducibly at the very core. Strip yourself of everything else. You're my child. Now, if you can accept that and live out of that, you are a new being, right? Right? You're a new being. And occasionally God says, and I love this, so our youngest son, when it was time to get rid of the soother, and my wife, pretty sure it was my wife, had this idea. She's like, okay, Laik, why don't we give your soother to little baby Jeremiah? Because he needs it. And Laik's like, okay, yeah, no, I'm a big boy. I don't need, yeah, Jeremiah, oh, he needs a soother. And boom, you know. Occasionally, God just visits us and he says, you know what, you're hanging on to this thing. It's not really part of who you are now that you're my child. Why don't you just let go of it? I pray that's God's gift to you this Christmas. And I encourage you to just say yes. Because you can work years and years trying to get rid of something, get over something, and minimal results. And when God says, no, it's time right now, why don't you let go of this? It's a decisive victory. And that, my friends, is why there's joy in Christmas, because I cannot think of any greater joy than to actually be different, to be whole, to be new, to be that thing that my dog thinks I am, you know, that be that person my dog thinks I am. Like, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? There's hope, there's joy, because in Christ Jesus, God came and dwelt among us so that we might see the glory of the Father and might receive grace upon grace, might enter truth and grace. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we are moving to our baptism.